Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. This is the Big Match Preview. It's also our Transfer Deadline Day podcast. My name is Louis Mendes. Hope you guys are all right on this Thursday evening. Joining me to discuss all the potential incomings and outgoings and look ahead to the game with Derby. First up, top right, Sue Gallop. How are you doing, Sue?
I'm all right. I wore my yellow jumper today.
Yeah, have you been blown away by the transfer activity today? Because it's non-stop.
I'm barely still sitting upright. Blown away.
And a man who's also just had to come back into the room after being wafted off in the direction of somewhere else after all the excitement with the transfer news, Nathan Miller. How are you doing, Nath?
Yeah, not bad. It's a bit nothing, isn't it? I guess.
Yeah, made your way back from Blackpool.
Didn't we, a lot of it?
Angers me. On tonight's show then, like I say, we're going to spend the first half an hour, which might be a bit long really based on what we've seen so far, discussing transfers. Then of course we'll look ahead to Saturday's home game with Derby County. Going to be joined by Chris from Rams Talk later on in the show as we preview that home game against Derby. The Addicts go in search for their first win in 12 league games. So where are we on a deadline day? We haven't done anything yet, which is quite painful for a deadline day show. There was a point yesterday where I was discussing with my fellow Charlton Livers that we might push the show back to 10:30 so that we went over the deadline where it slammed shut and we picked up the pieces after 11 as well, just to see if anything was going to happen. But as the day's sort of gone on, it felt like it might not be worth doing that. So we have gone on at normal time because it's been very, very quiet so far. So what do we know? What can I tell you as well that we might not have known, but actually there isn't a great deal out there? So we do know it would appear that the club have agreed a fee for the right-sided defender Kane Ramsey from Harrogate Town. That was broken by Richard Corley earlier on in the show. Also, we know that Conor McGrandles might be going out. I can tell you that would be a loan to a fellow League One side. That's something we know. And one final thing I know, which again isn't the most exciting news of the day, is it sounds like Deji Ilerowe might be going back out on loan as well. So they're the three things that we know. A couple of them were already out there, but the fellow League One side for McGrandles is new information. Deji Ilerowe potentially going out is new information as well. Sue, it's not been the most mind-blowing transfer deadline day yet, but let's talk about Kane Ramsey, 23-year-old right-sided defender then from Harrogate Town. He's been up there for a couple of years now, having come through the youth system with Chelsea and Southampton. Can't say I'd ever heard of him before about an hour ago. What would you say about him?
Yeah, same as you. Never heard of him. I guess the thing is we've been banging on about the defence. Did you say he's right?
Right-sided defender.
No, it's not. Yeah, so we're in need of firming up at that defence, and you would hope that somebody's done their homework and must be in the know about a player that none of us have kind of heard of. But again, as we've learnt in the past, it doesn't always mean much. If we haven't heard of someone, they do sometimes surprise us and end up being some of our better signings. So if I'm honest, any fit player coming in the building at the moment is a bonus, isn't it? And especially in defence, because we've been saying, like we've been saying for weeks, haven't we? Our defence is the thing that is really the concern. So I'm happy, see what he does Saturday. If he's if he goes straight into the starting lineup, and we can just judge him from there, can't we?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's nothing's confirmed at this point. We've been here before where deals can fall through. I mean, Simon's asking if Ramsey was with Nathan Jones at Southampton. It doesn't appear that they overlap, so I don't think you can take that as any big indication. I mean, obviously, it's a side of the... it's an end of the pitch that we needed improving, Nath. It's probably, you know, I think fullbacks, or if he's going to be a wing-back, have obviously been a bit of a weak point for us this season. It will feel like a gamble because it's a bit of an unknown quantity at this level. What would you make of the news that we're linked with him at least?
Well, I mean, I think we needed strengthening over on that side. I think Nathan needs a loan. I think Nathan needs so many Nathans flying around. Sinway, Jones. So I'll say Sinway, just use his last name. But I think he needs some games, Sinway. So, I mean, obviously, one of his traits, obviously, I'm only going off Football Manager, which I can't, that's not the gospel, but he's quick. And I think if we've lost, obviously, Corey, I'm not saying Kane Ramsey is going to come in and have the same impact as Corey by any stretch, but if he's quick, he gets up and back down the pitch well. I think we need sometimes that outlet out wide. I don't know if he's going to be that. But yeah, I think we needed someone there. And it's in January's always a hard window anyway. So I wasn't really expecting much. I was expecting a loan. Is it a loan or a perm? Do you know?
Likely to be permanent.
Yeah. So, listen, if he's got some games on his belt, he's got more experience than Nathan Sinway. So we'll just have to see. But if he's got space, he's got pace and acceleration, then it gives us a little bit of an outlet, which we don't really have at the moment. I know Tenai's no slouch, but it gives us another option, another dynamic. So, yeah, I don't really know what else I was expecting, to be honest. I came into today not really expecting much, just with the whole situation at the moment. But we'll give him a go and hopefully does well. And as Sue said, it may be an unexpected surprise. You know, when Jan was here, not a lot of people thought a lot. I know it's different positions, but obviously, hopefully we'll give him a chance, obviously, and hopefully does well.
Yeah, so Alex Gleeson saying that deadline day is stressing me out, even though all I'm doing is waiting. James says you can't beat a deadline pod. Although it has felt like a very quiet deadline day, not just for us. I don't know, I haven't been following it as closely as I always did because there doesn't seem to have been as much news coming out. I should say good evening to everyone in the chat as well. Obviously, we'll still have the managerial search to talk about later. Shiny Phil says, I suppose at least we don't have to suffer that lion cretin Matt Southall with his super-duper phone or whatever nonsense he was spouting whilst he stole the club's money. Well, I did actually get a snack table very similar to Matt Southall's one ready just before the show, just in case it felt like we could make a joke out of that. But there has been very little movement. So on the two potential outs I've just mentioned there, so Conor McGrandall's potentially leaving on loan to a fellow League One side, Sue. I think when Michael Appleton was here, you thought there may have been a way for him to get back into that side. Obviously, got injured not long after his goal down at the game at Portsmouth, and then he scored again against Sutton, didn't he, at home? But you know, it hasn't really looked like coming back into the side over the last few weeks. So are you massively surprised? And in the area of the pitch where we've got about 50 players as well, so not massively surprised to see he might be moving on.
No, I mean, you feel for players like him because the potential was there, wasn't it? And yeah, like you say, the moment he kind of gets his way back into the side under Michael, then gets injured, is sad. But I guess you do get some of those players that just don't seem to settle and then go on and do great things at another club. I think when he went out on loan before, didn't he? He done fairly well. So, again, you've already said it's not a loss. We're quite blessed in the midfield department, aren't we? So it's not really. I don't really. I know it sounds awful to say. I don't really feel anything about it. I don't feel like I had any great attachment to him as a player. So yeah, it is what it is, isn't it? It's not. It's no big loss. Sorry, that sounds horrible.
You're a horrible person, Sue. And also, on the potential Deji outgoing, Nath, back out on loan, again, probably not that close to the side at the moment, although we do have injuries at the back. Obviously, with Heck out, We have seen Gillespie come in. He did go off with a hamstring complaint last week, although we're hoping that was just precautionary. So we'll find out more when Curtis Fleming does his pre-match press conference tomorrow. Obviously, normally do it today, but because it's transfer deadline day, they're holding that back till tomorrow. But yeah, were you surprised to see Deji going back out?
Not really. I think Deji falls into the, in my opinion anyway, falls in this little bit of a gap where you've got the first team with the 23s. I think he's in that little bit of phase in between, and he needs games. Similar to, I don't know, maybe a bit harsh for me, but similar to Kanu, where I just think they need to be playing regularly. Like Zach's gone out and he's playing regularly, and he's probably in that camp as well. So I think the next step for them to make that step up into the first team is to get really a good season under their belt. Zach's got that. Deji sort of came back, done well at Bromley, came back. So I think it's good for him. I think we've got enough in and around the squad, even if we went through a patch of injury spates, which we always seem to get anyway. I think we'll have enough there or thereabouts. You probably have to patch it up and play players out of position slightly, but he needs to play. It's no use to these kids on the fringes just sitting on the bench, maybe getting the odd cup game, which we are not in any cups anymore. So makes sense to me. And hopefully he can do well, like, you know, he was really, really, really liked down at Bromley.
Just looking at a couple of the comments that come in. Daniel said he thinks that Kane Ramsey could be a good signing for us. Good age as well. At the age of just 23, obviously you'd hope there's still room to sort of grow into his career as well. A couple of other people said they're looking forward to seeing how he gets on. Lucas is asking if we're going to try and sign a left wing back on deadline day. So, I mean, we've put out there what we know. So Ramsey is the name that's out there. I've put out a couple that may be leaving before the end of the deadline, which is, I think, 11 o'clock tonight. But, I mean, overall, Sue, it has been a quiet day. How do you feel about the last few days of the transfer window? Because I'm putting this out to the chat as well. I want to know what people make of this overall. So let's have a look. We've had Coventry, Gillespie, Edmonds, Green, Ward have all come in permanently, along with the loans of Backinson, Fiorini and Ladapo. Then out we've had Kirk, although I think that was before the window, wasn't it? Walker, Blackett, Taylor. Fraser's gone on loan to Hearts today. I think that was finally confirmed. Tedic obviously went back to Man City. Chem Campbell and a bank was returned to Udinese. Finally got confirmed as well. Recently, how are we rating that transfer window overall? And I'll put this out to everyone in the chat. So don't forget. I mean, my theory is the fact that we've been linked with some players, but they're not signed them. At the start of the window, there was a lot of excitement because it looked like we might get Johnson Clark Harris. You know, we put in a bid for Aaron Collins, who ended up signing for Bolton today. But overall, have we massively improved us? That's my question to you guys in the chat, and to you as well, Sue.
Again, it's hard to know, isn't it? Because it's some of the players that we've got in are not match fit, so they're not necessarily able to start the games. So you can't really judge how much impact they're going to have until they're up to speed with their fitness. I think it's positive that we're making permanent signings. To have four permanent signings in a January window, I can't remember us having done that for a long time. We do tend to go with the loans, don't we, in January? Or in general, actually. So I guess if they are spending a bit of money, that is a positive sign. But again, it's difficult, isn't it? Because we haven't got a manager. So how do you convince players to come to our club when they don't know who they're going to be playing for? And I worry potentially, well, today's the last day now anyway, but do we know that some of those other players that we were linked with may have been put off because we haven't got a permanent manager?
I mean, that was certainly raised as a possibility today, wasn't it, by Richard? And you wonder how much that does play a part with players, you know, Nath. But I mean, it's the second time in a row we've got ourselves in this mess, you know, where we don't have a manager going into the last few days of the transfer window. Obviously, it went pretty badly at the end of the transfer window in the summer. Michael had to go. I guess that's part of it. I mean, he has been gone for a while now, so we haven't moved massively quickly in replacing him. But I mean, we can look at that. I mean, people are talking about that as if it's almost an external factor, but we have got ourselves in this mess by having no manager or no head coach at this point twice because of the quality of the manager slash head coaches that we've been hiring in the first place.
Yeah, I think for me, it was before the game before the Burton game, wasn't it? Before Northampton, where probably it was the time to go. Like, it's hard. I think we spoke about it multiple times in terms of I just want to have that stability, but you carry on losing, you're going to find yourself out of the job. And that bit's our own fault, really. And I think with the just tying back onto sort of Sue's point, really, in terms of the manager, if you're going to try and attract a player in a difficult market in a January as it is, if you're looking at that table, we're not really a lovely sort of rosy positive. I know the vision's great, the vision's amazing, isn't it? But the fact of the matter is we're a couple of games away potentially. If we don't win on get something from Saturday in Reading, we're not really a great proposition to a footballer to come on a permanent basis at the moment, if you're looking at the likes of Aaron Collins and whatnot. So that's why I wasn't really expecting anything fantastic today, to be honest. I was surprised we got a right back in. So, it's a difficult window as it is. And yeah, I think I've got to try and be realistic. Yeah, we've made four signings permanently, which I can't remember the last time we did that in the January. So trying to take the positives. Yeah, I don't think we're a lot better than where we were, but there are so many players that are coming back. Like, you look at Pam, Fiorini, Chucks. You throw them in the mix. I know it's... I'm not hanging my hat on them staying fit and getting back straight away, but we have got players and players that are too good, in my opinion, to be fighting relegation, like not saying top six, but we've got enough, I think, in the locker. It's just trying to get that momentum going. I think once we get one, we might be all right. But yeah, it's just a bit of an odd one, really. I just don't think we're a great, not an advert, but we're not a great sort of situation at the moment where someone's going to go, yeah, I'll go there permanently, when you're looking over your shoulder at League Two, especially if we're aspiring to get to these championship end players or top end League One. They're going to go to the likes of Bolton and Pompey. Of course they are. Mm. We're not a great proposition at the moment for me.
Yeah, I mean, because I guess that there was a lot of talk about making sure that players come in fit and ready to go. And obviously, I think it's fair to say, certainly with Fiorini, I think from what we've seen, or what little we've seen from Ladapo so far, it doesn't seem to be, you know, Gillespie now feeling a hamstring. That my main concern is, at this moment in time, Sue, is if, like, we are waiting for these players, as Nathan says, to grow into full fitness or anything. But what happens if it doesn't really pan out that way? You know, for anyone who was hoping that our January window would see us really hit the ground running in the second half of this season, I think they'd obviously be sorely disappointed.
Yeah, I think what Nave's just touched on, what you've just touched on in terms of that match fitness, when you're signing players that are obviously possibly not wanted by other teams because they've not played much football in recent times. It's how long does it take you to get match fit if you've not played for a period of months or even weeks? We need them to be in the ground running, don't we? And clearly they can't. And like I know Nath says, and he always tries to put the positive spin on it, which normally I do. But then we're still waiting for other players in the squad to get fit as well, and we're bringing new ones in that are not fit. So it's hard to know where we've strengthened, actually, because we still feel like we've got that battle of having players that are not fit to play 90 minutes. So I am actually really worried, but I'm hoping whoever we end up bringing in manager-wise can really, really jumpstart and put a bit of energy into some players. I know we've sort of said before, we have got some very good players in our squad, and we've not seen the best of them, I don't feel, so far this season. And I'm hoping whoever the next manager is can kind of instill that that belief and confidence and ability that we know is there. But I think the fitness is a big concern to me because it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, Perry says, I genuinely think our squad is top 10. I think you are silly to think otherwise. The managers we have are poor. Let's face the truth. Sue, the defence has strengthened massively. And a really good way to find out where your squad sort of sits in comparison to the rest of League One is to play, you know, at least over half of a League One season, and we're 18th. So if that's a top 10 squad, you know, and that's purely on the managers, then, you know, I mean, that raises some serious concerns about how Michael Appleton and Dean Holden have ever managed in professional football. If they've got a top, you know, I think from what we've seen, we can have a good games, but we've seen overall, I mean, again, to say the defence has strengthened massively when we can continue to concede goals at this moment in time, I think it's way too early to be saying that. Ashley says, just hope to see that Louis Watson will play in his true position, and that in itself will give us more balance. We've been too lopsided for a while now. Robert says, are we building a decent team to romp to the League Two title? Sam says, in my opinion, it's been a fairly solid January window with the amount of money that was spent, plus the loans as well. We have no manager and still the loan window. Yeah, Alan says we have three season managers. Chris says it's not been a fantastic window. Backinson hasn't offered anything. Coventry, potential for the future. Ladapo needs fitness. Keeper, third choice. A couple of defenders look okay, but were woefully short of creative players. You know, and Dean pointed out it's hard to sign anyone with no one in charge. I mean, just looking at the players that have come in then, so I think I agree with Chris, really. So Coventry, I think, has probably got the most potential. Gillespie and Edmunds Green, we haven't seen a great deal of, but obviously they've been part of a defence that didn't do very well against Northampton. I know he moved into midfield, didn't he, for the Blackpool game. Obviously the keeper we know nothing about. And just, I mean, Ladapo's just looks a bit not up to pace at the moment, Nave, which you assume that's going to get better because you don't be the sort of player he's been over the course of the time he's had in League One over the last few years without being a better player than what we've seen so far. Obviously, Fiorini's offered nothing so far because he's not fit, you know, and that's unfair on him to expect him to have done more. And Backinson certainly brings a lot of energy, but has he brought a great deal more to the side yet? So that's why I just think anyone who's currently going, it's been a great window, I think, is really jumping the gun. That doesn't mean maybe I'm jumping the gun at the moment saying I don't think it's been a massively good window, but I don't think we could say with any conviction it's been a great window so far based on what we've seen from the players that have come in and the areas of the squad that we still maybe could have done better with. Plus, taking to the fact that, as Chris mentioned, we're lacking creativity at the moment and we've just sold Corey Blackett-Taylor.
Yeah, I think in terms of Ladapo, it's fair. You know, I think as every player we seem to get isn't fit, I think you need to let him bed in. He's got to build a relationship with May as well. You've got two top quality strikers for this league. There's no doubt about that. In that period as well, we've gone from a 4-3-3 where you give the ball to Corey and let him run, and then that's how we score, to a different formation completely. So it's not going to happen overnight. It's not ideal, but with Corey going, that was literally what our squad was made for, in my opinion, or a diamond. But we've got depth in the middle. Backinson's been okay. Yeah, the first couple of games, he really impressed me. A couple of not standout moments, but he's just got loads of energy. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a poor window, but I'm not sitting there screaming from the rooftop that it's an amazing window. We were asking for a striker and we got one in Ladapo. So, and I think it's just about, we've got to try and fit Louis into a team somehow, because it looks as though he's going to play with Dobbo and Connor Coventry, which leaves one other person, which is quite a, I don't know, a cautious mindset for me anyway. But yeah, I just think we've got the players to do it now. It's just about getting our best team and knowing what our best team is. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's a disaster, but it could be better, but it's been worse. So, and I just think we need to realise where we are in the league, and I don't think we're going to be, like I said earlier, a really attractive proposition for a lot of players. If I was a player and I was looking at it, I wouldn't be going, oh yeah, I'll sign for Charlton. They're just outside relegation. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, not been great, but it's not been a disaster and it's not been amazing.
Certainly, right. Sorry, I was just sorting out our Derby guest. We're just swapping people. We are still expecting a guest from Rams Talk. Brazilian says the positive about the sounds of this Ramsey signing is that he's been playing for Harrogate consistently. Has been one of their best players, allegedly, so should be able to make an impact. Yeah, I think he had a long-term injury. I think it was last season, but it sounded like a complete freak face problem, which sounded really nasty, but he's obviously been playing consistently this year. And, you know, we've signed plenty of players from League Two recently, Sue. Not many of them have turned out great, if we're being honest, but that doesn't mean that Kane won't, because, you know, he's a youngster, he's come through academies at a higher level, and he'll feel like he has something to prove. Born in Hackney as well, according to his Wikipedia, so I'm sure he'll be delighted to be returning to the south of England as well. Not that Harrogate isn't very nice.
Then I've never been there. I think I always look at, like, any new player that comes in, you always sort of like to give them that benefit of the doubt, don't you? So even though we know that it can be a big step up from League Two, some of them make it quite seamlessly. And I think if he has got that sort of experience from being in an academy at a Premier League side, yeah, playing in the lower leagues isn't always a bad thing, is it? A lot of players really learn their trade and how to battle in a game in League Two, because it is a tough league to play in. So you might, I think, in that respect, it fills me with a bit of confidence that this lad might have a bit of fight in him. But yeah, it's for him as well. Like, it's probably nice for him to come back home to family. You find sometimes players, if they have been a little bit homesick or whatever, they go back to their sort of home areas that Gary Rowett is on Sky Sports Breaking News Deadline Day as a pundit. It's just really distracted me. I think a lot of players then, if they can settle back home with family and friends, and that sometimes is that extra little boost that they need to really, really sort of crack on and make that step up. So I feel quite positive about this lad, even though we've said earlier we don't really know much about him. There must be something there for him to have continued to play in a professional game.
Right, and Nathan, are there any areas of the squad that haven't been improved that you'd hoped would have?
For me, goalkeeper. Well, saying that, that's a lie, actually, isn't it? Because we did get someone in. But I don't know I don't think Lewis Ward is going to be challenging for the number one jersey. Be amazing if he starts on Saturday, wouldn't it? I love Ash. I just think we lack someone who really commands their box, in my opinion. I just think, I've said it in the WhatsApp chats before, I don't hate Ash. I think, obviously, he's a good shot stopper. I just think he's probably one of the quietest goalies I've ever seen, which I think will come in time, I think, and coaching and stuff like that. I just think we lack leadership across the park, and I just think that's one place I would start. That's, again, nothing against him or Harry Weiss did, but Harry's not been available. Ash has done amazing. He was superb last year. I just think, in my opinion, that's somewhere we would have strengthened, but that was never going to happen when we signed Lewis Ward and have four senior goalies in the team. So we'll just have to, you know, hopefully it all sort of improves. And I'm not just like putting the whole of our woes this season on Ash, by the way, not in the slightest. It's just one thing I would say in terms of areas I would have liked. I think everywhere else we're okay in, not huge depth, but we're not going to be at League One. But that would probably be the other one, I would say. And a push, maybe an old school centre half, a really experienced centre half, just to command that box as well at set plays.
Yeah, a couple of people agreeing with you in the chat there. Perry saying, I think you'll find that Ashley Maynard-Brewer has been one of the reasons our defence has been so poor. He doesn't command his box. The worst thing for a defender is not to receive instructions. Lee's also said, I agree with Nath, maybe a new goalkeeper. Johan said, I think the goalie is destroying us. And he says, an EK back impact from the bench. Well, when he is back, I mean, hopefully we can get as much out of him as possible whilst he is fit. Brazilian saying, let's hope that the right-sided defender that we potentially sign in, Kane Ramsey, is better than the last right-back we signed from League Two, which was Manny Egbo, who is now no longer playing for us. So you mentioned it then. So just briefly on the managerial chat. I mean, it's been dragging on for a while now. Obviously, Gary Rowett's a name that had been out there for a little bit. Nathan Jones, sounds like he may have been in London yesterday. Neil Warnock was obviously a name that's been floating around. I mean, we don't really need to go into the candidates again because we spoke about it over the last few weeks. But, I mean, are you surprised it's taken this long? Is this the amount of time you expect it to take? Obviously, they've got to balance the fact that now we have gone into the end of the window again with no manager, that might make it harder for players to join. But also, you can't rush into the wrong decision. Although, to be fair, we took ages last time and got the wrong decision wrong anyway.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows what the best way of doing it is? Let's chuck all the names in a hat and pick one out. I don't know. I can see the arguments for, like, people are saying, right, just get someone that's going to keep us up and then long term. But then I also was reading today, and I actually agree with this, is that if you do that, then you risk losing out on your potential long term, because then they've gone off and got another job somewhere. So I think if you've got, like, certain people in mind that you think could be the long-term option, then just do it. I'm not sure. I guess part of the delay possibly could be around the personal term side of stuff. So it might be, because we don't know, obviously, if they've already been talking to people, that's been sort of publicised. But if they're not necessarily hearing the things they want to hear, or they're asking questions that they need to sort of come back with answers for, then it's going to be difficult for either side to commit to it, isn't it? So I'd like the long-term option to come in as soon as possible. Even if that is, and again, I know people have said stop going on about the past, but look at the season that Pauly came in. He came in at the sort of the back end. He had that half a season where we were absolutely shocking, rebuilt in the summer, and then we went on and got promoted. So it's not impossible. And that's the way I kind of have in my mind. As long as whoever comes in the long term keeps us up, then we've got the summer to build a squad that has got the potential to challenge for promotion next season. This season's been so disappointing in the fact that it's just been a complete write-off, absolute disaster, probably one of our worst ever.
Yeah, I mean, statistically, I imagine it'll be right down there. Right, so Adam's saying, don't think it's a case of who we want, it's who wants to join us. Robert says, the managerial appointment can take as long as needed. We need to get it right. Harry saying he'd like to see Pearson coming in with Yule and Fleming. Right, we're going to have a break shortly. Then we're going to turn our attention to Saturday's home game with Derby County. So just a very quick roundup of the transfer news as we know it so far. So we've agreed a fee with Harrogate for the right-sided defender Kane Ramsey. Conor McGrandall's likely going out on loan to a fellow League One club, although obviously none of these have been confirmed yet. And as I mentioned earlier, Deji Eleroe sounds like he's going to be going out on loan potentially as well. Right, we'll have a quick break. When we come back, let's turn our attention to Derby at home. Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello, fellow addicts. I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, The River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your match day routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview, our transfer deadline day special, on a day where we haven't made a single transfer, which sort of takes a shine off a transfer deadline day slightly. But there is hope that something might happen before the evening's out. So we'll see how that plays out. I'm not promising anything before the show's out, that's for certain, because I ain't going on all night. But yeah, let's. Someone in the chat has asked what I'm like in goal. So I have been, up until maybe like a year ago, I've been playing six-a-side as a goalkeeper with quite a few of the sort of Charlton backroom staff. But I had to stop playing when one of them literally broke my finger. So I haven't been going in goal for a while. But I will tell you this now that enough water's passed under the bridge, that a couple of years ago I was told a ringer was coming down to play, and we're like, who's this then? And sure enough, big bad Tommy Sandgaard turned up. And so if anyone wants to know humiliation, try being in goal and getting told off by the owner of your football club for letting in a couple, particularly when he was a bit of a strange man in the first place. So when you spend a lot of time questioning his decision making, then all of a sudden he turns up to play football with you and he's slagging you off. That was quite a difficult evening. In a way, I'm glad I broke my finger and we didn't have to do that again. Right, let's have a look at Derby at home, shall we, on Saturday. We've got a stand-in from the Rams Talk podcast, Jake Barker. Has very kindly joined us this evening. Jake, thanks for your time. How are you?
Oh, I'm very good, thank you, Louis. How are all of you guys?
Yeah, not as good as you are, I'm guessing. Partly because you just stole one of our most dangerous players. But yeah, fourth in League One. It feels like it's been a good season. Although it feels like with Derby fans, it fluctuates a little bit. As in, like, maybe a few weeks ago, people weren't as happy with Paul Warren as they are now. Is that a fair summation of your situation?
To be honest, I think it's been quite some time since Derby fans were happy with Paul Warren, which, I mean, I've got the league table in front of me. It's bizarre. 4 points off top with a game in hand. Yet, I don't know if we've had a good game yet this season. And that's where the problems arise. When we win game after game, we play like we've never played football before for 70 minutes and then pull one out the bag and win. And that seems to be the way we're playing. But yeah, very happy. Obviously, it's not great for you guys, but very happy to get Blackett Taylor in. And yeah, hopefully for your sake, he doesn't have a great game on the weekend.
Hi, Jake. So one of my favourite Charlton players is actually, I think he's just coming back from injury, Connor Washington. I'm assuming there's no chance of him featuring on Saturday.
No, it's a strange one with Washington, because he's looked lively whenever he's played, but for the majority of the season, he's been out injured. He joined us with an injury, came back, scored a couple of goals, and then he picked up an injury again. And he was weirdly called up for Northern Ireland whilst not being fit. And they played him whilst he had an ankle injury. And surprisingly, he injured his ankle on international duty. And that was in November, and he's still not back yet. So no, unfortunately, he won't be featuring this weekend. I don't know when we'll see him again. He's finally back in training today for the first time. Yeah, like I said, since November. So, but yeah, I can see why you like him, because he's certainly a decent player.
Hi, Jake. I'm gonna swerve any questions about Corey, because I don't really like talking about him anymore, to be honest. So, yes, I hope he has a really poor game, but you know, maybe Dobbo get one of him early doors and he'll go off with another leg injury that he had before he left. But anyway, I know you're sitting in the middle of fourth, middle of the pack in fourth, aren't you? So do you foresee that you can have a good challenge against Pompey and Bolton and Pippen for the automatics, or are you just going to settle for the playoffs that are obviously amazing? But yeah, do you think you can get their top two?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I think you'll have to ask me again in a few hours' time, because it all depends on the business that we do. I mean, it's just such a weird window for Derby because we knew we had two main areas to strengthen. Our centre of midfield, very, very weak, which is weird when we've got some really talented players. But with the way we play, we need players that are willing to work, willing to graft. And we've got a lot of technical players in the middle instead, and it doesn't quite work right. And we need a striker. Washington's been injured most of the season. Martin Waghorn's been injured most of the season. And James Collins has sort of had to leave the line on his own. And whilst he scored a fair few goals, he is a limited player. He can't really bring other players into the game. You know, he'll grab goals, but he won't really grab games by the scruff of the neck, which is something that we really need. So we needed a central midfielder. We needed a striker. And we've signed a winger. We've brought in a player on loan from Cardiff who can play central midfield. We've not seen a lot of him, Ibu Adams. Weirdly, I've just come off a recording doing a thing about him in the last 20 minutes. So I know more about him than I did not long ago, but he seems to sort of fill that gap. But there's not a lot of confidence in this Derby team. We don't really play good football. We never really look that promising, and we tend to win games through individual inspiration rather than actually a good team performance. So, you know, I know you said you don't want to talk about Blackett Taylor. Hopefully you can provide some more of that inspiration, but I don't have masses of confidence for the team for the rest of the season, to be honest with you.
I'll be honest, Jay, this is quite painful listening because you're in your fourth. Like,
I know.
People think we moan a lot. This is outrageous. I know Nathan didn't want to ask about Corey, but I'm just interested into how he has fitted in your side. I think he came off the bench once, maybe started once, his very early days, but how has he been in these early stages? Has he provided some of that impetus that apparently you appear to be missing up there in fourth?
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to come across as negative. I hope you know that. It's a difficult one because, I mean, since the turn of the year, we've been very, very poor in fourth. But we've been really poor because that Reading game, he made his debut against Reading. It was a Tuesday night. I think it was the day after he'd signed. And he came on with about 10 minutes to go and he showed flashes. He took the ball down the line, cut inside, put one just wide. He looked exciting. It was a terrible team performance. We ended up losing 1-0, didn't have a shot apart from that one. And that first on the screen is spot on. And yeah, we looked miles off it and we could barely thread three passes together, which was great. And then we played against Cheltenham first half again, probably one of the worst halves of football I've seen at Derby. And Cheltenham played us completely off the park. We barely touched the ball and Blackett Taylor did start. We played a really weird system where we played with three wingers and they were all sort of tripping over each other, not really knowing what to do. We had no one in the middle. And I felt sorry for Corey Blackett Taylor because, to be honest, he looked a little bit lost and confused. But I think all of us in the stands were as well. So I don't think you can put a lot on him.
Jake, I know you've sort of touched a tiny bit on Warne and how the fans kind of feel about him. What do you feel like as a manager tactically? How does he kind of set up? How is he in how his game management is and that sort of thing? What sort of confidence have you got in him as a manager?
It really fluctuates, I'd say that. I mean, I think the way Warne likes to play, he likes to use the wide areas. He likes to be direct and he wants to be effective. So we've got players like Nathaniel Mendes-Lang, Tom Barkhuizen on the wings, and their whole job is to get down the line and get balls into the box for Collins. And that is the way we'll play. We'll play the ball around at the back a little bit and then we'll go to the wings. We've got attacking fullbacks. We've got attacking wingers. We never go down the middle. Never ever go down the middle, and to be honest, that's probably one of the things that kills us, because the second teams nullify our wide areas, like Reading did so well, like Lincoln did so well, and even Cheltenham did to an extent for a large period of the game. You kind of shut us down, because even though we've got ball players, we don't like to play through them. So yeah, he likes to play a kind of a he likes 4-4-2. He likes to play three at the back. It all fluctuates, as I said. We've got a lot of injuries at the minute in key areas. We had a time where we had three right backs and one was at AFCON and two were injured. So, you know, we had to sort of change the tactics around for that. But the majority of the time, it's counter-attacking football. Like to be effective, like to get down the wings, get balls into the box and hopefully score goals.
One more for me, Jake. Obviously, I know you're having a really, really bad season. It's really awful for you to watch at the moment, sitting in fourth. But obviously, at the start of the year, obviously, along with ourselves and obviously Derby are one of the bigger clubs in the division. It was widely sort of mentioned early doors in the season that it's an easier league, which obviously we're taking really well and smashing it out of the park. So what was your expectations at the beginning of the season? Because obviously you're still a big club, you know, down in this division. Were you expecting top two or were you sort of saying playoffs?
It's a good question because, again, you don't want to come across as entitled because having lots of fans doesn't mean you should be good. And I completely understand that. I'm completely on board. You know, we've seen in recent years, Sunderland, it took them, 5 years to get out and they were getting 40,000 a lot of weeks. So I think the problem is we had a good team last season and we completely fell off a cliff towards the end and ended up missing out on the playoffs. Now, in the summer, we didn't spend any money, but we did bring in a lot of players. And I think wages-wise, we're right up there. I wouldn't be surprised if we had the highest earners. I mean, I know we've got some players on over £10,000 a week, which, again, in this division is crazy. So when you're bringing in players that are, you know, on that sort of money, we're bringing in big-name players. Sonny Bradley, obviously, coming in. He captained Luton to the Premier League. You think, what's he doing in League One? Now you know why. You know, we've brought in quite a lot of players that we thought would hit the ground running and really make a difference. Warren wanted to play this back three with wing backs and two up front, and he played it, and we were so bad. The only team we could beat with it was Burton, which says a lot about how bad they were at the time. And it didn't work. He reverted back to the four, and it's brought some of our other players into the fold, and we had a really good run of form. And when you hit those runs of form, you look at the quality of players that we have. I mean, Nathaniel Mendes-Lang is, I'd say, possibly the best attacker in the league, possibly. He's definitely up there. He's definitely in the top three. He's so strong. He's so quick. He scores goals. He sets them up. He's got everything at this level. And we've got a few other players that are the same. So when you're looking at it, it's like, well, there's no way that this team can't get in the top two. And we've got results and we've ground them out and we've done well. But I think the problem is there's not a lot of confidence in the way we play. I think we give teams a lot of chances. And I think if we were playing against teams that could score goals, probably like yourselves, with the likes of Alfie May, we'll end up conceding and that'll put us behind. We did it against Cheltenham. They had four or five chances. They finally put one away and it took an absolute screamer from Max Bird to actually get us into the game. And again, it's just a bit of a weird one. We all thought that we weren't going to run away with it because that's ridiculous, but we thought we'd be right up there, which we are. Yet somehow it still feels disappointing. So maybe it's the big club thing. Maybe we struggle with it. I mean, there's a lot of fans of Derby that are entitled and think we should win every game, which I think is silly. But I think we should at least compete. And in a lot of games, we've not looked like it.
Fourth in the table, ladies and gentlemen. Jake, thank you for your time this evening. I've really enjoyed it. As you see on the ticker down the bottom, you haven't scored on either of your last two away games, so you are probably going to go down in the next few weeks into the relegation zone. So yeah, thanks for your time. You know, hopefully you'll be as bad as you have been for the rest of the season on Saturday and we'll get a comfortable 4-0 home win.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
That's Jake Barker, who joins us from Rams Talk podcast. Well, I mean, I don't say this lightly, but he's taking a mick there, isn't he? Like they're absolutely flying. I mean, it reminds me of the season when we were still fifth in the Championship, the first season after we went down from the Premier League. And we were like, we're fifth, but we appear to be rubbish. And sure enough, we finished 11th. So I imagine that'll be what happens to Derby this season. Sue, based on that, I feel a lot more confident for Saturday now. But, you know, from our point of view, things need to start changing quite quickly. That game against Blackpool was, you know, of our next seven, starting with the game at Blackpool, five of those were against teams in the top eight. Obviously, Derby are included in that. So it's not an easy time to start trying to turn things around. But we quite simply can't see ourselves getting dragged further and further into this relegation dogfight with the likes of, you know, Reading and Exeter and Derby County.
Yeah, and a couple, like you say, even like Reading has started to pull out a few results recently, and we can't really afford to slip anymore. We can't. It's just, I think when you look at it, it's frightening how close to that bottom we are. And although historically we've sort of said we tend to play better against better sides, that's not necessarily been the case this season. All of our kind of historic, oh, we normally do this, they've all gone out the window this season. And like you say, the games that are coming up are against teams that are like up there, and that worries me a lot, actually. To when you've got a squad that doesn't seem particularly high in confidence, how are they gonna have that mindset to go through? I know, like people were saying, the Blackpool game, there was improvements in how we played. And they did battle well to get a point. But I feel like teams like Derby and those teams that are up there in that top half, it's a different, I don't know, it's just a different ask, and particularly with a team that seems to not really be a team, actually. Looking at how we set up, and it feels like a team of individuals, and I just worry about how they're going to raise their game and raise their confidence for Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that Curtis Fleming mentioned after the defeat at Blackpool was, you know, I think he made it quite clear that he'd only had a couple of days to work on it, and it was obvious in that first half, Nathan, that we were still not a well-drilled side. You know, the amount of chances we gave up before half time, and then in the second half, obviously Lloyd Jones came on and unfortunately made an error. I mean, what do you think Curtis would have been concentrating on the training ground this week to make sure that we can't be like we have been over the last few weeks and just give away so many chances and so many goals? I mean, again, before the game against Blackpool, we had the second worst defence in League One, and I'll be shocked if that's massively improved in the space of a few days on the training ground. So how does he negate that, Curtis Fleming, in Saturday's game?
Well, I mean, the first half against Derby, our back line was so all over the place. They were not in line. They were just all over the show, and we just gave him loads of chances. You say, I think, for me, I think you just work on defensive shape. Well, I hope he is. Because I think we rode our luck at times, of course, on Saturday. But, you know, apart from that, you know, we've done okay in the second half. But that's because we had to go ourselves. And I think when you've got the likes of sort of Ladapo and May up front, sometimes there's games where something will come out of nothing. Alfie's just scored so many goals this year and we're still struggling. So I think I'd focus on the defensive shape, nullifying the threats, which obviously Jake said that they're wider areas, and try and go through the middle, because that's where I think we're stronger now, and that we haven't got Corey. So I think, because the thing is I think we need a clean sheet, and if you keep a clean sheet, you've got a great chance of winning. So not that I'm saying we're going to sit behind the ball, but I think when we lose the ball in terms of getting more players behind the ball to nullifying the space, and obviously trying to make sure they don't come from their wider areas with their pace and power, which is going to be Corey and Corey and Nathan Mendes Lang. So, yeah, you'd think you'd try and build, focus on the defensive shape, get a good platform, and then enable the players in front of them to try and play, try and get Ladapo and May in the game.
Well, I've got some very good news, actually. We are no longer the second worst defence in League One, because Carlisle conceded 4 on Saturday, so we're actually now the third worst defence. So we're moving up the table in a way already, which is excellent. So, Shiny Phil's mentioning that Derby only play down the wings, as per what our correspondent there just told us. He says our defenders are going to have a nice relaxing match then, watching all those crosses being smashed into the back of their net, because I think it's fair to say that our full-back / wing-back positions have been up there with amongst our weaker positions this season. So, you know, especially someone like Corey, I know we've played with him a lot recently. I mean, does that hold any bearing on the fact that we know what he's going to do, but does that mean we're going to be able to stop him doing it?
No. But then it's the other side to that is, like, we know Corey and how on and off he can be. And you wonder whether potentially, I'm going to regret saying this, the occasion might get to him more than...
Just getting on Skybet now for the Corey Blackett-Taylor hat trick, but carry on, Susan.
How we deal with him. So, yeah, we know him as a player. We know his abilities. Our temporary management crew and our players know Corey really well. So sometimes it goes in your favour, doesn't it? Where they know, you know, their strengths and weaknesses, you know how to kind of keep them quiet, but then it can also have the flip side where they just want to almost prove a point. Although Corey, it doesn't feel like Corey would need to prove a point because he knows how much he was loved. He didn't go out on a bad note, you know what I mean? He wasn't going leaving with everyone hating him, thinking he was rubbish. So it's slightly different in that when other players come back and score, it's like they want to get their own back for us being not very nice to them. But yeah, I think we know how he can play, and I do worry that we're going to struggle against him.
I mean, Ross Goss is saying we need 10 players behind the ball when we were still letting goals. Are just so poor, built on confidence, though, so they need to rebuild their confidence. And Glove Pup's asking, are we expecting a less defensive setup at home? I mean, it was 3-5-2 at Blackpool on Saturday, Nave, which was out of possession was a 5-3-2. So most of the game, it was a 5-3-2. And we still gave up huge chances. But I just don't see how else you attack that game at home, or do we go you know, and try and stamp some authority on it and go for it, and you know, try and pin Derby back into our own half. Attack is the best form of defence, which in fairness it has been the case for us this season. Attack has been the best form of defence because we can't defend.
Yeah, I think in this game, I think Connor and Dobbo is going to have a really key part, in my opinion. I think if you play them in the middle, they'll be able to shuttle across either side, left and right, and double up on both of the wingers, which leaves an overload for Derby in the middle. And they're not really that, they're technically great, but they're not workhorses, and they're not really going to cause us a lot of problems, apparently, according to Jake. So I think you do that. But I think if you're playing Dobbo and Coventry as the sort of shuttlers in the doubles, I think you've got to play Louis Watson. I think Backinson's good as a great work ethic and as a lot of industry, but I think having someone like a Louis Watson who can get on the ball when you win the ball back, and that's when you create chances. So I'm hoping we don't, even though I've liked Backinson so far, I think he's okay. I just think for this game, I think you need someone in that middle at home, as Paul said, is when we're on the ball to have that little bit of nous, that little bit of creativity, which may feed into sort of Ladapo and May.
Yeah, because I mean that has been a concern for me. I was on the phone to someone earlier. I just feel that we have taken a bit of the creativity out the side. So on Saturday at Blackpool, you know, Northampton second half, we had some chances, but obviously we were at a point where we had to start pushing. Blackpool, we create a couple of half chances. Our goal sort of came from nowhere as well. I am concerned a little bit about how we're going to create chances. I'm also concerned about Ladapo. You know, I think he must be getting closer to being up to speed, Sue. So maybe we need a big performance from him, because him and May, on paper, you know, I don't say this about a lot of our players, but on paper they feel like two very good players at this level. So we're just hoping they click, and Saturday would be the perfect time for that to happen against a Derby side who are obviously full of negativity and not feeling very confident at all because they're only fourth.
Sorry, it just feels like one big banter show tonight. Yeah, like I must say, when we signed Freddie, I was like really excited, because like obviously he's always a player that you heard a lot about because he always seemed to be in and around the goals. So when you sign someone like that and you've already got Alfie, it's like, oh my God, that's like just the best two forwards you can possibly hope for, really. But then like you've sort of explained that he's not quite up to match fitness because of lack of game time in the earlier part of the season. But yeah, I mean, Saturday, him and Alfie, if they give us what we know they're capable of giving us, then I would hope that we'd score quite a few goals. But again, it's down to the service, isn't it? So now we've lost Corey, who's going to be the one that's going to be putting those crosses into the two boys. And that's if we even set up with two up front, because as we know, in the part, well, where Michael's in charge, particularly, that he kept moving Alfie about. So, I don't know. It's just too many unknowns for me to be able to say either way. But having those two up front gives me a bit more confidence. It's just, I guess, as how Derby defend, really. That's going to be the key, isn't it?
Excellent. Right, we've run out of time on this week's big match preview, which is, of course, our transfer deadline day special, a transfer deadline day where now at 8 o'clock in the evening, nothing has happened yet. But just to recap what we know, Cheltenham have had a fee agreed for the right-sided defender Kane Ramsey with Harrogate Town. Conor McGrandles looks set to go out on loan to a fellow League One club. Nothing confirmed yet, though, so won't be naming the club in case it doesn't go through. Deji Olerowe likely to go out on loan again as well, the Addicts defender. So that's what we do know. By the time some of you get to the end of this pod listening back on the Friday, you will know how that has played out. Or maybe none of it would happen. That's how transfer deadline day can sometimes go. Right, massive thanks to everyone who's joined us on the show this evening. Anyone who's joined us in the live chat, as well as Jake, who joined us from Rams Talk. I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. Don't forget to subscribe to our Cheltenham Live YouTube account and wherever you get your podcasts as well, so you never miss another show with us. Massive thanks, as always, to Sue and Nathan. Good speak to you both.
Cheers. Thanks, Lou. Thanks, all.
Here we go. So I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening to Cheltenham Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Insulation. We'll be back on Sunday morning to look back at the Derby game. Hopefully Cheltenham will end their long run without a league win. We shall see you later.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.